Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Of course, that turned out to be a big disaster.
I'm trying to watch the show here.
Sorry.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 34, Dead Men Don't Shut Up. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
And neither do we. Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for sticking with us through this multi-dozen episode season of Melrose. We're almost at the end of that and the show. Before we get into it, a note about upcoming programming on Again With This. That is our Patreon-only podcast. Episode 192, which drops May 17th, Let's Watch Mary Beth Pyle. That's Grams on Dawson's in Law & Order Special Victims Unit. It's Season 7, Episode 11. It's called Alien. It's not about aliens. Despite what ancient alien experts might say,
it
is available on Hulu and on Peacock. We will link it in the show notes. We hope that you will watch along and join us for that episode and the literal hundreds of others that we have recorded. Again, with this podcast.com/club. Please join us. Just a few bucks a month. You get to hear all that stuff. You get to talk to your fellow listeners on the Discord. You get to bemoan Tori's various podcasts. Okay. Not that you should listen to those, but you should join us. We have a good time.
We do. We're going to try to have a good time with this penultimate Melrose Place as well. Starting with the B-plot, Terry tries to play her last cards with Ryan, and Jane might have a big secret her large sweaters and coats have been poorly hiding for a while. We open with Ryan and Terry as Ryan brings in her mail and finds out she's been offered a job at a school she said had turned her down. He doesn't understand why she lied to him, and she blurts, clip two.
I love you, all right? Now leave me alone.
No, Terry, wait. I know that you have feelings for me, but that does not mean that you love me.
I have always loved you. Ever since the accident, I felt like I couldn't let it in because it would be betraying Callie. So I shut it down.
I don't know what to say.
That's because you're such a nice guy. Don't you see? That is the problem. I've been living out here, being so close to you, seeing what a great father you are to Sarah. I just can't keep my feelings buried anymore.
I can't even hear this right now, Terry. I mean, I love you like a sister. You've done an incredible job of raising Sarah, but I'm in love with Macon. I'm getting married in a few days. I mean, you gotta understand. Terry, what are you doing?
She's naked.
Macon, wait, it's not. Macon, that's not what it looked like. I mean, I had no idea that was coming.
Oh, well, that makes two of us.
Well, I mean, she was seducing me.
Yeah, that's what you said about Lexi. This is beginning to look like your M.O.
Oh, come on. I mean, she's telling me she loves me. I turn around and she's standing there naked.
Oh, right. This naked woman just starts kissing you.
Excuse me. We're getting married in 3 days. I can't believe you still don't trust me.
No one cares. It really is just this, like, 10-year-old, like, bad teen novel.
Uh-huh.
Poochie going back to his home planet level of story quote craft with this whole section of the show that no one cares anyway, which I guess they can sense.
Mm-hmm. You love him. You've always loved him. Like, what a strange way to go about all of everything that we have heard has happened between you then.
Mm-hmm. Also, what a great father he is.
Yeah.
LOL? And a question mark?
Yes. For the 2 weeks a year, you made sure he was allowed to see his child, whatever. There's one episode left. Ryan says to Megan that she probably shouldn't marry him, and Megan snaps at the wedding's off. Oh, no. And the next day, Terry comes to Megan's apartment to apologize and insist that Ryan is innocent and really loves Megan. And when Megan snits that he's tried to back out of their engagement before, Terry says he won't now and that Terry wants them both to be happy for Sarah. And also Terry needs to go back to New York, which, like, hurry up. Oh, wait, I actually don't care if you're here or not. Stay. It's fine. Later, Megan finds Ryan at a lunch meeting at Kyle's and says she wants to marry him. They're making up when Ryan's business associate comes back and tells him he got whatever the job is that he has just been interviewing for. But no, Kyle can't start tomorrow. He's getting married. Snooze. We don't see Kyle and Jane until the episode is more than half over and they're walking down from the rock and roll club. Jane amazingly making her hair even worse with a pointless little barrette, which you can see in the visual aids.
Which is like sticking off her. It's not even like touching her scalp.
No.
It's amazing.
So bad. They join the McBrides in law at a table at Kyle's. In time for Sarah to whine at Terry to stay in town until after the wedding, but Terry can't. She and Sarah say their tearful farewells, and then Terry goes outside to leave and watches the happy family from outside, and no one cares at all. No one.
No.
Including the people she's watching. They're like, okay, bye. Like, other than Sarah, no one gives a shit.
Even Sarah's like, whatever.
The next day, Ryan and Kyle walk on the beach, the latter saying things are so good with Jane that it's making him reevaluate all of his past relationships, because with her, he doesn't feel like he has to be anybody special, and Ryan feels like that about Megan, too, which is kind of a rude thing to say about both of them, honestly.
Well, but like, also, neither of you is really anything special, no. So good.
Right. Then we go inside where Jane is gaping at a pregnancy test and narrating that it's positive, which, like, we got that from her face, and then sliding it into her robe pocket when the McBros come in. Kyle repeating his number one relationship rule, be honest. He learned that one the hard way, I'll just say that. And He asks if Jane agrees, and she lies, absolutely she does, because things are great. And that night, Ryan puts Sarah to bed and then argues with Megan about her sleeping at her own apartment the night before their wedding, which this is suddenly, because Ryan thinks life is too unpredictable for them to waste another chance to be together. And then there's a knock at the door. Peter and Amanda are dropping off a wedding gift. Megan invites them to the ceremony, but Peter says that with Kyle and Jane there, it might be uncomfortable. Ryan tries to ask them to the reception, bygones and all, and Amanda says she hopes Eve gets to her bygones era someday, and we'll get to her in the A-plot. And the next day, Megan and Ryan are married on the beach with Sarah, Jane, and Kyle looking on. While they're kissing, Jane pulls Kyle over and tells him to hold her. And then Jane and Kyle are walking Megan and Kyle out to his car. They're giving final instructions for looking after Sarah, but we're going to find out in the next episode, like, the reception is that night and she's going. Like, I don't understand what they're dropping her off for. It's weird.
Yeah, was it a no kids thing? Like, fine, but then why is she there? This is one of those, like, usually we had this complaint in the Dawson's Creek section of this podcast, but, like, when is it, like, is this a Land of the Midnight Sun thing? Mm-hmm. Are they in the Yukon? It's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess Kyle and Jane have not actually started looking after Sarah yet, because Jane has barely told Kyle she has something to tell him when suddenly everybody hears Sarah's voice arguing and then sees Terry running her over to a rental car and shoving her into the back seat. And clip three.
Hey, Terry, what's going on?
A kidnapping professor.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think maybe Terry should be the custodial parent if you can't tell what's going on, sir. But Terry just looks back at Ryan before leaping into the car and peeling out, and the McBros each get into their own cars to give chase. And in Terry's car, Sarah squeals at her that Terry is scaring her. And Terry keeps looking back at Sarah to reassure her. And before long, she has driven through a traffic barrier and straight into a telephone pole. And that's where we leave them, unfortunately. Oh, my God. And that's it for the B-plot. My God. These idiots. On to the A-plot. Lexi uses her influence on both Michael and Eve. We pick up here where we left off, Michael telling us all that Lexi fucked Tony to death, basically. She breathlessly remembers seeing him with pills, and then Michael yells at her for Tony's having taken ED medication when he had a heart condition, asking in so many words if that was Lexi's idea. And then he casually calls 411 to get the number from the morgue. Aw, remember that? But Lexi panics. Cliff 4.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Michael.
What?
What? What am I going to do?
What do you mean? Just put some clothes on before the ambulance gets here.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, first of all, yes, good idea. Second of all, I so wish that they had gone in this just ridiculous slapstick noises off direction with them much earlier, because even though 90% of their quote plotting in these last two episodes is a complete waste of time that goes nowhere, it's so much better than when they were trying to take her seriously as this vamp. Huge improvement. Thank you very much. Better late than never.
Yeah, they're fun. Like, they have fun energy together.
Mm-hmm.
But Lexi means, what is she going to do about the contracts that Tony signed moments before he died? Because the cops are going to think that she forged Tony's signature. And as she continues spinning out, Michael casually wipes his prints off of everything he touched, which you can see in the visual aids, because he does not need this heat. But Lexi babbles that Michael needs to help her return Tony to his own house along with the signed paper so everything looks normal. Obviously, Michael wants to know what's in it for him, and she promises anything he wants. So after they've gotten Tony dressed, which happens off screen because I bet it took a while, we watch from outside as they drag Tony's corpse out the door and down the stairs, just in time for Eve to come out her door throwing Peter's stuff into the pool, which, like, golf clubs, okay, but for furniture, she's throwing full armchairs into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't care. He's a millionaire now. Lexi goes inside to help Eve as Michael loads Tony into a shopping cart and pushes him out of sight. Again, slapstick, perfect word for what's going on here. Mm-hmm. While Lexi keeps Eve from seeing them, which is pretty easy since Eve is ranting about Peter and Amanda's obsession with each other. And she knows Lexi knows what she's talking about. And Lexi could say, I barely remember when I was with him, but instead she just glares because she has her own problems. And then Michael is pulling Tony's car up in front of his house so Michael and Lexi can slapstick Tony into his home office. And Lexi is sure rigor mortis has set in just as they hear a woman's voice call out to Tony. Michael turns his desk chair around and puppets his body Weekend at Bernie's style as the uniformed maid, apparently Tony's other mistress, starts seducing him from the doorway, or pre-seducing him, I guess. When she's gone to her room to start without him, Lexi gets Michael to help her stage the scene to look like he signed the papers and then immediately died, which I don't know how that was going to look less suspicious, but fine. Lexi sees that Tony had dossiers on Eve, Amanda, and Lexi herself and gasps that it's weird, which, you know, coming from the woman whose accomplice is doing bits with his corpse is rich. And then suddenly, clip 5.
I just figured out what I want, and you swore you'd give me anything.
Michael, this is not exactly the time that we should be discussing this. We're trying to escape.
No, you gotta listen to me right now, because I'm never gonna have this much leverage again. Marry me.
Michael, I'm serious. Stop clowning around.
I'm not clowning. It never hit me before. We are soulmates.
Yeah.
We have larceny in our hearts. We have passion in our veins, and nobody's ever excited me as much as you do.
You're really serious, aren't you?
I love you.
Well, you really are very handy.
So then they make out behind the body as the camera like pans up from one to the other. It is absolutely crazy. But I'm not mad.
It's deranged, but I just think nobody was paying attention anymore and they were just making their own fun, which, okay.
Yeah, I'd love it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
July 4th member-only doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, rewards members save $50 on a select Charbroil 4-burner gas grill, now just $149. Plus, save over $500 on a Whirlpool top-load laundry pair, now $886. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, these July 4th doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/7 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
So the next day, Lexi and Michael are in her bed doing what any of us would do, reading Tony's dossiers. In the course of their comparing notes, Michael is scandalized that Lexi didn't change the sheets Tony died on, which, like, have you met this woman? Of course she didn't. She doesn't change her own sheets. No. She has no other sheets.
No.
But Lexi says his file on Amanda goes all the way back to high school, which is when a news report comes on TV delivered by SoCal broadcasting legend Sam Rubin. The official story is Tony died at home. No foul play seems to be suspected. Lexi crows with relief. Michael wants Lexi to do to him what she did to kill Tony, and she's about it. And I also want to note, and you'll see this in the visual aids, the chyron under Tony's headshot indicates he's 52, and I feel attacked.
Yeah, same.
Then we're at the courthouse for Peter and Eve to have a meeting, because you can definitely say you want a divorce on a Tuesday and be in a conference room with lawyers on Wednesday morning. Eve is extremely confrontational with Peter, and when he asks if they can stop hurting each other, she says they can when he's dead and in hell, and she stomps out. He chases after her, resetting what we know, and then Amanda's with them in the hallway, as no one in her situation really would be ever. Like, what does it benefit you to be there? Wait in the car or at the hotel.
Yeah.
But it's so that Eve can spit some abuse at her and then be about to stomp off, but then turn around to see Amanda hugging Peter. And this shoots Eve into a flashback of her murder trial. And please go to the visual aids to see this Kmart Laura Ashley knockoff they have dressed her in. Like, at least they put her hair back to make her look younger. They've done zero to Amanda. She's like totally in an outfit she would wear to the office today.
Yep. Same hair too.
Yeah. Yes. Did not even put it in a ponytail. Same hair.
No.
It's hard for us to tell at this point what Eve is seeing in the flashback, other than that it's Amanda hugging a man because his face is turned away from the camera. But if this is supposed to be teen Amanda... Like, nothing indicates it, like we said.
Mm-mm.
But then Eve snaps back to the present, and that night, Lexi strides into Dr. V's office in a dark, skin-tight mini dress, announcing that that was the best funeral she's ever been to, because the only thing you can arrange faster than a divorce in this town is a funeral, I guess, for a business leader who would have, like, presumably hundreds of people there, but again, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At least it was off screen. Dr. V assumes that Lexi isn't there for grief counseling and is correct, Lexi drawling that Tony went out with a bang and his wife's going to honor all of his business commitments. So Dr. V doesn't know why she's there, and she tells him about Michael's proposal. She already said yes, but she doesn't know what she wants. Asks what's wrong with her while she lies on the couch, like, caressing herself. Like, we get it. She's hot to trot. Calm it down.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. V says that Lexi overthinks things, and he tries to calm her mind from the darkness, saying the face of her true love is emerging. Who is it? And we see a black and white montage of all the men she's been with, including Tony's dead body, not including Coop, because they didn't want to pay Lyndon Ashby, I assume. And then the last one is Peter, but then he's suddenly in the room asking if he's interrupting. And Lexi gets startled as Peter turns from black and white to color and then scrambles to leave. Peter's also there for relationship advice because Eve's having a hard time with the divorce. Dr. V cracks that without Peter's love life, he would be out of business. But he adds that Eve can call Dr. V if she wants, but Eve says she won't listen to Peter, so he was hoping Dr. V could just fake bumping into her at the club and talk to her there. And again, I don't know why they've done this, like, this format change this late, but the Rock and Roll Club is definitely fully the adult contemporary club now. Lip sense.
Uh-huh.
And you will cry. And if my love can't stop you, words won't make you change your mind.
Nice harp. I mean, I guess good for Beth Nielsen Chapman.
Sure.
And it's like, all right, are we actually going to eat clock with another performance? Like, I, as a, you know, person who's prepping this episode for analysis, am fine with it. Mm-hmm. I guess if I were Ms. Chapman, I would be fine with it, or mm-hmm. her reps, but it just does seem like a strange choice.
Yeah.
In the penultimate episode of the show ever,
mm-hmm.
to just be squandering runtime on this. Then again, if the alternative is more Terry, Sarah, Jackie Earle Haley shit, then I guess I'll take this.
Yeah. So Dr. V finds Eve behind the bar, biting an employee's head off, and then being extremely uninterested in small talk from Dr. V. When he says he was sorry to hear about her breakup, she yells about everyone knowing her business and declines his offer of help. Dr. V just knows how cold Peter can be, and he thinks Lexi found it useful to talk to him when Peter broke up with her, and calmly tells Eve he'll be available the next day at 11, and I guess that's probably what time it is when we see Eve in his office telling him about the flashback. She has seen Amanda in that hug before at her trial, and suddenly has a breakthrough. Clip 7.
Who's Mr. DeMar? Ken DeMar's father. Father of the boy I supposedly killed. She was hugging him like they were old friends.
You didn't know they were close?
Yes. No. I don't know.
Eve, I sense you might be trying to hide something from yourself. I wonder if hypnosis might help you unlock that
hypnosis?
Door.
No. I don't think I'd like that.
It could help you expose the roots of this memory. Isn't that what you want?
Ask the writers, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, again, see my previous comments. Like, introducing this, like, weird My Sweet Audrina wrinkle into mm-hmm. this murder story now, and assassinating Amanda's character in the process on the second to last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Avant-garde.
Yeah, I just was reminded of, like, you know, the story that went out around Angela Lansbury when she died, that she used to hire older actors to do guest shots on Murder, She Wrote so that they would get their SAG eligibility for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help thinking about that and which one of these guys was like buddies with Aaron Spelling when I saw this man's wig. That's all I'll say. It's in full effect. He doesn't get a line, but he doesn't get to stare down the camera, and, you know, they had to pay him for that.
He gets a beaver pelt. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So then Michael and Lexi are in the hallway arguing about whether they should have premarital couples counseling when they see Eve trailed by Dr. V. Lexi asks if she's all right, and Eve spits that she's not, thanks to Amanda. Michael uses this outburst as proof Dr. V's help is not worth seeking, but Lexi says Eve doesn't need a therapist. She needs a friend. Well, you better find her one, because you're shitty at this. Then Dr. V's letting himself into Peter's office to find Amanda there waiting for him. For Peter, rather. While he's there, Dr. V will just go ahead and ask Amanda about Kent's death, because it'll help with Eve's therapy. Okay, HIPAA. Amanda, concerned, asks why Dr. V is talking to Eve about this at all, and Peter comes in to say it's at his request because he was worried. Dr. V says Eve's memories of that time are disturbed. Amanda repeats that Kent tried to rape her, Eve pushed him off the bleachers, and Amanda went home. And Dr. V says, that's exactly what Eve said, almost word for word. Then it must be true, says Amanda. But in the hall, she looks like, it is not actually true at all, come to think of it. That night, Lexi calls on Eve to give her Tony's dossier and admit that she peeked. Clip 8.
You know, it looks to me like you got a bum rap.
Somebody died. Somebody had to pay.
Yeah, but it was self-defense. I mean, even Amanda said so. And she'd have no reason to lie for you.
Amanda was my friend back then. She even visited me in prison once a month for 15 years.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the Amanda I know.
What do you mean?
Eve, please. Amanda's never been loyal to anyone but herself. She was either checking up on you, or maybe she felt guilty.
Guilty?
We have nothing to feel guilty about. He tried to rape me. You pushed him. I got scared and I ran home, remember?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
No,
yes, you do.
Amanda, I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
What, Eve? Yes, you do what?
Yes, I do. I remember.
Cool.
Well, what does she remember? Here's what. As we see flashbacks, Eve tells Lexi she and Amanda were scared. Eve did roll Kent's body into the trench. That part is still as we've been told before. We watch as a figure slowly approaches Eve while she's hiding under the bleachers. And in the present, Eve says everything after that is a blank. Dr. V thinks he can get the memory out with hypnosis, though. And Lexi says Eve needs to open things up and show the world what an evil bitch Amanda is. Eve repeats that Amanda went home. So then Lexi tells her where Amanda is living now. And then we're there as Amanda and Peter drink wine and discuss the fact that with Amanda cut loose from so many anchors in her life, anything's possible. Peter has decided to be very generous with Eve in his divorce settlement, but Amanda doesn't want to talk about her for the night, and Peter agrees. And then there's a sex montage. Speaking of eating clock, eat it, eat it.
Yeah.
Which Eve soon interrupts, putting her ear to the door to hear their sex music. And then she creeps outside and looks through a crack in the curtains to Amanda and Peter going at it, quickly flashing back to her teen self in an acid wash jean jacket, which I think that was later than this is supposed to have been. This was like 84, 85.
Yeah. It was also cropped in a way that I don't think was accurate. So
no.
Interesting choices by wardrobe that don't quite work.
So she's in a parking lot in this improbable jacket and walks up on Amanda, fooling around with a guy in, this is accurate, a cabriolet with the top down.
Borrowed it from Jane.
Then Eve gasps to herself, they cheated on me. And the next day, Eve weeps on Dr. V's couch as she says she's having visions but doesn't know if they're real. If they are repressed memories, Dr. V says, hypnosis will bring them out. And as he puts her under, we see a very conspicuous red light flashing on the spine of a fake book on his shelf. And then we cut to wherever Lexi's watching the live feed, psyched to collect enough dirt on Amanda to take her down for good. And then we see she's watching with Michael, saying she's impressed by his level of eavesdropping. And he shrugs that it's no big deal, listing all the other times he has surveilled or been surveilled until Lexi shushes him. And we cut back to the office where Eve is under. She pushed Kent, and then what happened? Rolled his body in the trench, nowhere to hide except under the bleachers. She doesn't know how long she was there, but when she came to, someone was standing over the trench. And after some more urging in her memory, Amanda steps into the light and Eve yelps her name because she didn't go home. And when she's awake, Eve is very distressed, asking Dr. V why Amanda was there. And he says they'll go further tomorrow and she should bring a memento from those days that she can touch. Lexi gloats that she's going to use that to mine Eve's memories, and she doesn't even need Dr. V, and Michael is appalled. Clip 9.
Wait. I gotta say, I don't get what the big deal is. I mean, so you unearthed some dirt on Amanda. You've already destroyed her agency. You bought her building. I mean, she's lost everything.
Not everything, Michael. She's not alone after all.
Oh. So you still want Peter, don't you?
Peter's my destiny, Michael.
Okay, you know what? We're through.
Okay.
All right, we're not through. We're still engaged, but we need some time apart.
Okay, bye.
What?
Listen, let me know if you learn anything more from Visconti, okay?
It's almost like one of them knows this is the second last episode ever, and there's no point in having any fights.
It's true.
And then Amanda's finding Peter at the hospital so he can offer her a job. Again, second last episode, no one cares. That night, oh, Eve, she's got bright red lipstick smeared clownfully around her mouth at home. And this is going to be a repeated motif, unfortunately. The things they do to this beautiful woman, oh my God.
Oh, Mike, I mean, it's no making her eat a hot dog and unhinging her jaw like a python, but it's down there. It's bad.
Yeah. So she's surrounded by all her old high school stuff, including her cheerleader uniform, which she is wearing while cutting up photos and yearbook pages of Amanda. Peter knocks on Eve's door and then lets himself in as she hides behind it, brandishing scissors. Amanda reminds him that they don't live there anymore, possibly saving his life from getting stabbed to death. And when they come out, Lexi snits that it looks like they were breaking and entering, and then sees Eve looking dementedly out the window. So Lexi breaks and enters to tell poor sweet baby Eve that Amanda did this to her. She's going to bring Eve home with her. Eve pets Lexi's face and then puts down the scissors and lets Lexi usher her out.
And then they make out.
If only.
Just kidding.
Next morning, Eve seems to have come back to herself as she thanks Lexi for being such a good friend. She has to get going to another appointment with Dr. V, but Lexi thinks his hypnosis is messing with Eve's head. And so Eve asks what Lexi would do. Lexi says she would go back to Oakhurst. Eve is scared, but Lexi will go with her because if Eve can remember what really happened, they'll make Amanda pay. Over to the hospital, Dr. V tells Peter Eve missed an appointment and he's going to break confidentiality out of fear for her safety. He tells Peter what happened in the last session, but Peter doesn't believe Eve's memories about Amanda and the trench. And Dr. V insists. Peter seems like he's starting to be convinced. Okay, so remember how Peter said he and Amanda wouldn't be going to Ryan Megan's wedding because Kyle and Jane hate their guts? Apparently it's no problem at all for Amanda and Peter to have lunch at Kyle's.
I thought they were invited to the reception and they said that would be okay, even though that seems like it would be even more awkward.
Yes, than sitting in the audience, for sure. But also, don't go to your ex's restaurant if you don't want to see him. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Again, I know they don't have time.
I know there's only so many sets, but exactly. Which would explain. I mean, this is really egregious in the next episode that it's like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you here?
Yes.
But again, there's a bunch of restaurants. Go to Eclipse.
Yeah.
Do not go to Kyle's. Not today.
Go to the Peach Pit. That's a standing set.
You need for free.
Amanda's already strategizing about the ad budget she'll need for this new fake job that Peter offered her, but Peter is visibly distracted and clipped in.
What's the matter?
I've been thinking about the night the Tomorrow Boy died.
Why are we talking about this again?
Apparently you flashed on something in therapy. She said you were at the spot where the body was dumped.
Well, either Eve was hallucinating or lying, but the one thing I know for sure is I was not at that trench.
I never said it was a trench.
Everyone knows what it was.
The point is, Viscani thinks that she's recovering from a repressed memory.
No, the point is, if you want this to work out between us, we're not going to talk about the Damar murder again.
I just think it might be useful if you try to remember.
Kent tried to rape me, Eve pushed him, and I ran home. It's the last time I'm going to tell that story.
You'd think that, since there's only one episode left, and yet you'd be wrong. You're going to tell it again.
Yeah. Also, you don't recover from a repressed memory. Mm. I mean, you might, but that's not how that works. Dr. Peter Burns.
If
that's your real name, which it isn't. Does anyone remember that?
So then we're in Oakhurst. Thank you, Chiron. One last B-roll trip for the books. Mm-hmm. Lexi and Eve are walking around under the bleachers. Eve's remembering that Amanda was there to dump Kent. Like, as in break up with him, not dump his body, although that's coming. They fought. Eve got into it. Kent fell. Eve and Lexi have arrived at the spot where Kent landed. And Eve repeats the version of the story through where we left off in Dr. V's office. But the next thing that she flashes back to once she, you know, realizes that Amanda was there is Amanda standing over Kent in the trench and raising a rock over his head while he throws his arms up to stop her, but then smashing his fucking head in anyway. Present-day Eve gasped that he was still alive and Amanda was the one who killed him. And I have 1,000 questions, like, did it come up in the trial that he died from his head being smashed in with a rock instead of a fall? Like, this is completely brand new information that contradicts everything told before this. I know it doesn't matter, but I still have to say it.
Yeah, and where is the rock?
Where is the rock?
Presumably she just left the rock in there.
Right.
So why didn't they find that?
I don't know.
I mean, I understand that a lot of cops are not good at their jobs, but Jesus.
Yeah. We don't know, and we're not gonna know, because there's only one episode left. And with that in mind, let's close up by naming our episode MVP.
Lexi. I mean, I never thought I would say that, but now's the time, I guess.
She's getting shit done. I'm going to say Thomas Calabro for similar reasons, because the two of them are giving these episodes some of their very few bright spots.
True.
Least valuable player. Terry, your story makes no sense.
Dr. Visconti, motherfucker, stay out of it. Next time on Again With This, Dawson's Creek edition, it's Friday the 13th, part 4, as Dawson's pranks and Joey-ing take up a terrifying amount of screen time.
You'll find more horrors in our visual aids. See them for all episodes of the podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. And we've got a call-in show coming up. Please share your feelings about late 90s fashion and loafish hair at 210-920-4699. Call or text. We would love to hear from you. I'm cadaver caper Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is repressed memory Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is very handy. Talk to you next time.
Hey, Terry, what's going on?
Boo.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.